the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, we have, as we mentioned yesterday, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And the Torah says, Ulim maltem es besar or laschem, we have an obligation to do a Bris Milah. And this is supposed to be, V'hayala oz bris beini uveinechem. This is supposed to serve as a bris, as a sign, as an os, beini uveinechem, between our connection between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And based on this, the Shach writes in Yoredeya, what if you have a situation where a child is born, and unfortunately the child is not healthy enough to have a Bris Milah on the Yom HaShmini, writes the Shach, and now it comes the Yom Lamed Aleph, and we have to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So the Shach says, which one are we going to do? Right? Some people make a mistake. I'm getting some blank stares. When we do a Pidyon HaBen, it's supposed to be after 30 days. So it's on the Yom Lamed Aleph. That's why we say it that way. So the Shach writes there, what happens now? It comes Yom Lamed Aleph, and we're prepared to do the Pidyon HaBen. And the problem is, we haven't yet performed the Bris. And now the doctors tell us that the child is healthy enough to have a Bris Milah. So we have two mitzvahs before us. You can either perform the Pidyon HaBen first, or you can perform the Bris Milah first. So the Shach writes, which one should we do? So writes the Shach, I would have thought that you should perform the Pidyon HaBen first. Why? Because today's mitzvah is the Pidyon HaBen. The Bris Milah we already pushed off 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so we may as well push it off another week. However, says the Shach, no. Although that's one would have thought, he quotes from the Chuas Maharanach, that he says the priority that we give is to first do the Bris Milah, and only afterward the Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because the Bris Milah is so fundamental. The Bris Milah is so crucial to what it means to be a Jewish male. Therefore, he says, if you have the opportunity to do the Bris Milah before the Pidyon HaBen, even though it shouldn't really make sense, we would do that anyway because it's important to take care of the Bris as soon as we can. So Baruch Hashem, we have many opportunities to participate in celebrating a Bris Milah, and particularly in our shul, we have a few times a week the opportunity to have a Bris Milah, but I've noticed that there are many who seem to be unaware of the halacha in Shulchan Aruch about how one should conduct themselves during a Bris Milah. So the story begins as follows, just to give a little bit of background. In Parshas Bo, the Torah says, a very ambiguous pasuk, not clear exactly what it means, and the Yerushalmi has a big machlokes hatanaim trying to understand it. The Torah says, v'shamarta es achuka hazos lemoada miyamim yamima. You should make sure to observe this chok, this mitzvah, miyamim yamima. So the Yerushalmi says, which mitzvah are we referring to that we should be careful to observe? And the Yerushalmi writes, it's also a Gemara Maseches Menachos Lamed Vav, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that this is a reference to tefillin, that the Torah is warning us, every man should make sure to wear tefillin every day, v'shamarta sachuka azos, and make sure that you guard it, and that you do it with dignity. And from here he says, miyamim yamima means you're only allowed to wear tefillin during the day, v'lo balayla, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. So if somebody, for whatever reason, was in the hospital, or they had an emergency, they were unable to wear tefillin throughout the duration of the day, and now they finally come home at night, that would be something that is too late for somebody to put on tefillin, because the Torah says, miyamim yamima, you're only allowed to wear tefillin during the day. And based on this pasuk, the Gemara says that b'nei ma'arava means the Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's the way we refer to b'nei ma'arava, so the Yerushalmi says that they used to have a very interesting practice. Every day we know when we put on the tefillin, we recite a bracha, asher kedushan mitzvot v'tzivanu l'haniach, or al mitzvot tefillin, whatever you say. However, the Yerushalmi says there was a bracha that used to be said not only when the tefillin were put on, but also when the tefillin were removed, when the tefillin were taken off. Write to the Yerushalmi, which bracha is that? And it's unusual because we don't find a bracha by any other mitzvah when you're finishing the mitzvah. As your Hanukkah candles are about to be extinguished, you don't make a bracha right before they're finished. And as you're finishing up the Shabbos, you don't make a bracha. You say Havdalah to usher the Shabbos out, but we don't thank Hashem for giving us Shabbos and make a special bracha. So what's this all about? Yerushalmi says they used to make a bracha, asher kedishana b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lishmor chukav. They used to make a bracha thanking Hashem for allowing us to observe His chukim. That's a reference to this pasuk, because the Torah says, v'shamarta es achuka hazeh miyamim yamima. We have an obligation to observe the mitzvah of tefillin, and it's referred to as a chok, and therefore the B'nai Ma'arava used to say a bracha, not only when they put the tefillin on, but after they took the tefillin off, they would recite a bracha, thank you for allowing us to observe your chukim, lishmar chukav. Now, The Shulchan Aruch, as we know, does not follow this practice of B'nai Ma'arava. And the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly in Siman Chavtes that we do not make a bracha when we take the tefillin off. However, if you look in the Beis Yosef there, he quotes from the Baal Ha'iter, from the Hagos Maimon, he quotes from other Rishonim that although it's true that we don't say this bracha of Lishmar Chukav, we don't accept that opinion of the Yerushalmi, that opinion of the B'nai Ma'arava. However, he says it would make sense that one should make sure to leave their tefillin on at least until the sentence in Uvalut Zion when you say Shenishmar Chukecha Bo'olam Hazeh. There we have a sentence that's very similar to the bracha of Lishmar Chukav, and therefore the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Rishonim, you should go out of your way to leave your tefillin on till at least that paragraph of Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh. He ends off and he says, I don't really think there's any reason to do it, because in the end of the day he says, we reject the opinion of B'nai Ma'arava, we don't accept it, so why do I have to go out of my way to do anything about Lishmar Chukav or Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh? We don't accept this position. What's interesting is that although he rejects it in the Beis Yosef, in the Shulchan Aruch himself in Siman Chaf Hei, Hilchos Tfilin, he says, yes, we should leave our tefillin on until after Uval Etzion. He doesn't explain why, but this is the reason. If you look in the Beis Yosef, you understand why. And he says we should leave our tefillin on until at least Uval Etzion. And the reason why is because we want to make sure that we say that line of Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh while we are still wearing our tefillin, because that reminds us of the old bracha that the B'nai Ma'arava used to say. So the Ramah takes it a step further, and the Ramah says, yes, although the Shulchan Aruch says we should leave our tefillin on throughout the duration of davening, until we say Uval Etzion, and including Uval Etzion, the Ramah says, I have a tradition from the Mekubalim that you should leave it on even longer. You should leave it on until you hear four Kadeshim, until you have four different Kaddishes, and therefore you should leave it on until Kaddish after Aleinu, and only after should he take it off. Okay, that's the practice with regard to wearing tefillin every day. Now, what about when it comes to a bris milah? So we don't do the bris milah in the middle of davening. On Purim, the Acharonim say, maybe you should do a bris milah before Mikra Megillah or after, something like that. On Rosh Hashanah, we know we do the bris milah right before Tkiyas Shofar. But on a regular day of the week, when we have a bris milah, and even Shabbos, we wait till the end of davening, and that's when we perform the bris. So what do I do with my tefillin during the regular days of the week? So if I follow the custom in Shulchan Aruch, I keep my tefillin on until Uval Etzion or until the end of Kaddish, but then I take them off while everybody's waiting around for the Bris Milah to start. That's when you normally see people wrapping their tefillin. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, that's not the proper minhag. One should leave their tefillin on while the Bris Milah is going on. So much so that some Achronim discuss, should I even, let's say I didn't daven here, I davened in another shul, and now I come to this shul to participate in a Bris Milah. Should I go out of my way to put my tefillin back on? I already took them off. Should I put them back on because now we're performing a Bris Milah? So what's this all about? What does the Bris Milah have anything to do with tefillin? So one reason the Achronim give is because the Gemara says in Megillah. We have a pasuk in the Megillah, Megillah Esther, where we're told, Ayhudim, Haisa Orav Isimcha Besasa Mikar. And the Gemara says, it doesn't just mean that the Jews were excited and they were celebrating. It means something deeper. What does it mean that they once again had Simcha V'sasa Mikar? Says the Gemara, it means Ora Zutora. After the decree was lifted, they once again were able to accept and celebrate the Torah. After the decree was lifted, V'sasa means they were able to perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah again. V'ikar, says the Gemara, it means they were able to once again perform the mitzvah of Tefillin. And therefore the Achronim say, it seems that there's a connection between Tefillin and the mitzvah of Bris Milah, that sason v'ikar, that the Torah, that the Megillah puts one next to the other, and therefore when you have the opportunity to do a Bris Milah, you should have your tefillin on. Okay, sounds a little far-fetched, writes the Magen Avraham, we don't need such complicated answers. We have a much simpler reason. Why do we have to wear the tefillin, says the Magen Avraham, and this is quoted in the Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim. Same reason is quoted in the Shach in Yaradei and Hilchos Bris Milah. He says very simple. Because as we know, the tefillin, like we started, is an os. Ukshartem la'os al yadecha. The tefillin serves as a sign between our connection that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mila, as we said in this week's parsha, we're told, Mila is an os. Mila is a sign that the male members of the Jewish community have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the fact that they sign up, that they subscribe to have a bris mila. And therefore, he says, it would make sense that you should have two osios at the same time. You should have your tefillin, which prove that you're a male and a Jew who believes in God. And you should also have the bris mila, which proves that you are also a male member of the Jewish community who believes in God. You should have both of those together. Why both of those together? So the reason why is because the Torah says in a totally unrelated context, when you want to prove that somebody is guilty in a court of law, so what does the Torah demand? How many witnesses must we have? You have to present al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. You want to prove something in a beis din, you have to have two witnesses that are willing to come and testify that this is the reality, that this is the story. And therefore the Acharonim say, when we want to prove that we are card-carrying members of the male Jewish religion, we would assume that you should bring two witnesses. What are those two witnesses? Witness number one is your tefillin. Witness number two is the fact that you have a bris milah. And therefore we assume that it would make sense that you should have your tefillin on while the bris milah is being performed. So this is something that people are not so careful about, but it's something that is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and we should think about it. What's fascinating is, there's a third place where we find that the Torah refers to a mitzvah as an os. And where is that?
Shabbos.
As we know, the Torah says, I think in Parshas Kisisa, os hi li'olam, right? Is that when the Torah in Kisisa describes the experience of Shabbos? So there the Torah says, observe Shabbos, and that is considered to be in os hi li'olam. So the Gemara says in Erevin, maybe I should wear my tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Why not? I have a mitzvah to wear tefillin every day. So maybe I should wear the tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Says the Gemara, no. Why? Because Shabbos is os hi li'olam. I don't need the sign of the tefillin to prove that I'm a Jew on Shabbos. I have Shabbos itself as an os. And therefore the Gemara says you don't have to wear the tefillin on Shabbos, and so much so the Shulchan Aruch says it would be a bizayon to Shabbos if you would wear your tefillin. It shows that you don't believe that Shabbos is an os, that Shabbos proves that we're Jewish, and therefore he says we don't have to wear the tefillin because we have, number one, the bris milah on Shabbos, and number two, we have Shabbos itself. So therefore there's no reason for the tefillin at all. Which leads the Trumas HaDeshen to a very thought-provoking discussion. Once in a while, he says, you have Misha Mesu Echav Machmas Milo. You have somebody who had a few family members who were hemophiliacs and they were unable to have a bris milah because it was dangerous. So now you have a son that's born and he also is unable to have a bris milah. He's an ones, and the halacha is you're not allowed to put your life in danger to do a bris milah, so he'll have to live life without a bris milah. Ask the Trumas HaDeshen, would somebody like that wear tefillin on Shabbos? Fascinating question. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, after all, the reason why you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, says the Gemara, is because you have two osios. And what are the two osios? You have Shabbos itself, osi li'olam, and number two, you have the bris milah. But this man doesn't have a bris milah. It's not his fault. His family has some kind of medical condition that doesn't allow him to have a bris milah, but maybe we should say he should go out of his way to wear the tefillin in order that he should be able to have the two osios. That's an interesting discussion in Trumas HaDeshen. I think the answer is no. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody wear tefillin on Shabbos. I don't know if you know anyone who's a hemophiliac. I assume it happens every so often. Doctor? No? Once in a while. There are children who are hemophiliacs. So anyway, this is the discussion. In Shulchan Aruch, one final point, the Shulchan Aruch discusses somebody who is mahalach bamidbar. It doesn't happen too often today that somebody is so lost and disoriented they don't know what day of the week it is. But in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they had such a thing. Before you had a cell phone, before you knew what the calendar date was, and before you had tracking devices and watches. So somebody is lost in the desert, he has no idea what day of the week it is. So what do I do? What am I supposed to do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, that every day you're allowed to work kedei parnasaso. You should continue to walk in the desert, try to find your way out. You're allowed to do whatever malacha you need to do to make it through the experience, even though today might be Shabbos, might not be Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch says, from the day that you realize that you're totally lost, you should start being Mona Shivas Yamim Umekadesh. Arbitrarily, you're going to start counting 7 days from that day, and you'll say Kiddush on the seventh day. Why? Kidei Shalot Tishtakach Taros Kiddush. Imagine, a guy's going to be lost for 5 months, Rachmana Litzlan, and then he's going to get out. He's not going to know anymore how to observe Shabbos, how to say Kiddush, so we don't want him to forget about the institution of Shabbos, so arbitrarily he's going to choose one of the 7 days of the week, and he's going to say Kiddush on that day of the week, and follow that cycle. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So now, the Acharonim have a side discussion. Would he wear tefillin? What do you say? Would he wear tefillin on those days or not? Says the Bir Halacha, yes. He would wear tefillin every day of the week, even though one of those days is Shabbos. Why? Because the Rishonim say the only time Shabbos is os hi li'olam is when somebody abstains from doing malacha. But this person who's wandering in the desert, and he's doing malacha every day because he's trying to get himself out, so in that case, he doesn't have the os of Shabbos. If he doesn't have the os of Shabbos, the Bir Halacha says he has to wear his tefillin. Similar to what the Trumas HaDeshen writes about potentially wearing one's tefillin if he's a mesu echa machmas mila and he doesn't have the bris mila. So here the Mishnah Berurah writes that he's going to wear tefillin every day, even though one of those days inevitably is going to be Shabbos. That is the appropriate thing to do. The problem is the Mishnah Berurah then gets a little stuck. Says the Mishnah Berurah, really? Anybody who doesn't observe Shvisa Mimalacha on Shabbos is supposed to wear tefillin? What if I have a cholesh yesh basakana? What if I have somebody who's in the ICU in the hospital? And he's breathing, he's awake, he's not in a coma, but he's very, very sick. And therefore he's going to be violating the laws of Shabbos consistently because he has to make sure that he's okay. Or you have a medical doctor who's going to be violating all kinds of laws of Shabbos for the purpose of pikuach nefesh, says the Bir Halacha. Would you tell such a person that, oh, because you're not stopping from doing malacha today, so you don't have the os of Shabbos, so therefore you should go ahead and wear your tefillin? Bir Halacha says, if you're following the logic, that's what we should say. After all, the Gemara says, somebody who's mahalach bamidbar, and he's totally lost, and he's disoriented, and he doesn't know when Shabbos is, so every day he does malacha, whatever he needs to do, but he wears tefillin every day as well. Why? Because he doesn't have the os of Shabbos, which is the shvisa mimalacha. So says the Bir Halacha, you have a cholesh yesh basakana, who's also going to do malacha on Shabbos. Why wouldn't we suggest that he should also go out of his way to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Obviously, we don't do that. And I would say, I would venture to say, nobody has ever seen any critically ill patient who on Shabbos is going to wear his tefillin, or a doctor who's going to wear his tefillin, no such thing. And therefore, the Bir Halacha tries to get out of it, and he tries to differentiate between the case of the person who's stuck in the desert and the case of somebody who is a cholesh yesh basakana on Shabbos. In the end, he says, mikamakom lo brira svarazu kol kach. I'm not exactly sure how to distinguish between the two cases, but the bottom line is that somebody who's a cholesh yesh Shabbos, or somebody who's a doctor on Shabbos, or for whatever reason has to violate one of the laws of Shabbos, will not go ahead and wear the tefillin, even though based on the logic, we should have said that potentially they should.